History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 510, 60 degrees outside on this Thursday, April 17th, 2025. How's everybody doing? I believe Jake's spinning the wheels in there, has some of our interviews already up on our social media, so you can check out if you missed the interview with our guest earlier today, Gordon Chang and Jeff Wallace from Nancy's Vision. They are already up, and I'm sure Senator Dave McCormick's will be. It's up already. Oh, look at that. He's on it, man. He's on it. How do you not love having a partner like that at work? You got to love it. You got to love it. So yesterday, when I was talking about the conundrum that the Democratic Party is, when you have AOC and Bernie Sanders making a run at things, you have David Hogg, who's the vice chair of the DNC, saying he's going to primary established Democrats. You have AOC's chief of staff primarying Nancy Pelosi in her home district in California. These things are unheard of. And normally they get pushed aside by the establishment of the Democrat Party, but is there one now? And I don't think there is. There was Nate Silver and a couple people on the news this morning, CNN, and they were looking at AOC as their front runner, and Westmoreland from Maryland, the governor of Maryland, were their front runners. So it's going to be interesting to see. But some of the text messages says, why am I talking so much about the Democrats? Talk about what's going on now with this administration. So I thought about it, and I says, you know, you're right, and we need to put that in as well. I think we do a good job of that, but I think it's better just to lay it out to you, too. And I'm going to post this on my social media. I posted it for my subscribers on social media earlier today, so you guys already have it. I appreciate the comments there. But here's the Trump administration in its second term starting January 2nd, 2025, announced several companies committing to significant investments in U.S. jobs and manufacturing. Here's a list of those companies and their reported investment plans. Apple Incorporated announced a $500 billion investment over 5 years, focusing on advanced manufacturing and AI infrastructure, expected to create approximately 20,000 jobs. Plans include a new factory in Texas, a manufacturing academy in Detroit, and expansions in Arizona, Nevada, California, and North Carolina. That's no small task right there. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC as they are known by, committed $100 billion for 5 new fabrication facilities in Arizona, expecting to create thousands of high-paying jobs. Total investment in U.S. operation reaches about $165 billion. NVIDIA announced investments of hundreds of billions of dollars over 4 years in U.S.-based manufacturing, particularly for AI and chip making, though specific job creation numbers are not detailed yet. Johnson & Johnson planned a $55 billion investment, including a high-tech facility in North Carolina to manufacture advanced medicines, expected to create U.S. jobs, though exact job numbers were not specified in that announcement as well. Eli Lilly, the drug manufacturer, committed $27 billion for 4 new manufacturing facilities expected to create over 3,000 jobs and require 10,000 construction worker jobs during development. GE Aerospace announced a $1 billion investment across 16 states for U.S.-based manufacturing, expected to create 5,000 new jobs. Hyundai planned a $20 billion investment, including $5 billion steel plant in Louisiana, expected to create 1,500 jobs. And since that announcement, Ford even contacted Hyundai and said that they would buy steel from them, making that deal even bigger. SoftBank committed $100 billion for AI infrastructure through the Stargate project, aiming to create 100,000 jobs in collaboration with OpenAI, Oracle, and MGX. DAMAC, DAMAC Properties, announced a $20 billion initial investment for new U.S.-based data centers. Guardian Bikes launched the first large-scale bicycle frame manufacturing operation in the U.S. Those specific investment amounts and job numbers were not detailed in that announcement. Novartis planned to spend $23 billion to build and expand 10 facilities in the U.S. Abbott, drug manufacturing company, announced a major U.S. manufacturing expansions, though details of investment size and job creations are not specified. Honda planned to move production of its Civic models from Japan to the U.S., creating hundreds of jobs. Toyota mentioned that they are, as part of their job creation efforts, they will too be moving manufacturing, although investments and job numbers are not detailed. OpenAI, Oracle, and MGS via the Stargate project, part of the $500 billion AI infrastructure investment with SoftBank, expects to create 100,000 jobs, collectively starting with a $100 billion initial investment. Now, we've also seen the data centers proposed here in our area, too, in Lackawanna County. Huge areas with multiple buildings, multiple jobs. What I just laid out for you, the announcements reflect a total of $2.8 trillion in investment commitments since January 20th, 2025. As reported by the administration, note that some job creation figures are estimates, and we know actual outcomes may vary as seen in past administrations. Additionally, some companies like Apple may be responding to policy pressures such as the proposed tariffs. A lot of this is because of those threats, and this is going to happen more and more, where they're going to look to move some of the manufacturing here. You got to figure, if you're a major company like Apple, let's use Apple for an example. A majority of their stuff is made in China. If they say, "Hey, we can bring 50% of it in the next 2 years of that manufacturing to the United States. Let's work out a deal." There will be a deal made. You have 50% of their manufacturing being done here. They can mitigate supply chain issues by doing that themselves, so it helps their company out. Yes, the overhead may cost a little more, but the benefits for their corporate infrastructure is better. And that's just a small version of that. Now, a lot of the things that I just announced to you and listed for you is not a holistic list. Like I said, the data centers here that are already being talked about being built, one of them, you know, millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, is not included in this. This is just regular investment in our area. You also have the operation of the 3 Mile power plant to power that AI facility down there, not mentioned in there. These are companies, U.S. companies, that are looking to expand here because of our infrastructure, because of the deregulation of our energy sector, being able to fire back up the safe reactor at 3 Mile Island to power their massive AI data centers. You're going to start seeing more and more of this. You're going to start seeing more and more in this, and this is a good thing. You're talking $2.8 trillion in investments. And if you actually look at the money of the tariffs that are being added up now on a daily basis as far as things that are coming in now, I think we're going to see a different economy when they look to next year's budget, when they start saying, well, this is what we've saved in our cutbacks on these departments. This is what we don't do anymore. This is where we're saving. This is where we're taking in this amount of money. You have to realize they're looking to permanently extend the 2017 Trump tax cuts. And regardless of how the Democrats and these commercials and everything else try to paint that for you, that helped you and I. It helped the economy. The U.S. economy, even though it did add to the debt, was bringing in more money annually than it did before. The money was flowing in, and it would have, if COVID did not happen, would have most likely been in a different situation. But COVID happened, and there's nothing we could do to change about that. You can't blame that on one person or another person. You could blame it on where it came from and the lack of honest information up front, and that came from everyone. So there's a little bit of the list of what is being invested in just the past, what, January 20th? 3 months? 3 months, we're talking $2.8 trillion being promised to be invested. And some of this has already started. Some of this ground has already been broken. And for the people saying, well, we'll have to see because this is just promises. Yeah, sort of like the $1 billion of fiber optic Wi-Fi for our cities, rural America that never happened, or our $1 billion in EV chargers where, what, 8 were built. So, yes, a lot of this is in the planning stage, but they are committed to these promises. And it helps these companies, especially if we are committed to bring manufacturing back here, if we are committed to hold companies accountable. You know, I heard an interview today with a small business. Then they source their stuff from China. And they're like, well, we're panicking now. We're trying to get it somewhere else in like Taiwan or one of the other nations that have a more friendly trade platform with America based on these tariffs. Well, I appreciate the small business. I appreciate them trying to make the biggest buck for their product that they can get. But if you're trying to convince me that you're getting cheap manufacturing done in China and now we should feel bad for you because of this, no, China does not help the American economy. It might help your business, and it may cost you a little more to get that same thing done, and you might have to cut your profit margin down. But we also have to look out for our ecosystem when it comes to businesses, when it comes to manufacturing. And I think once that's in place, we'll start seeing some good things there. But that's a list in just the past 3 months of what's been already started, what's been promised, and $2.8 trillion in 3 months. I'll take it. And the more this goes on, the more that's going to come back here. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. It's funny, I got a text message from a texter here at the studio who's, the Democrat Party is an utter train wreck, a mess right now, have no leadership, have no message, have no platform. Just look at the news. They texted in, good try, Rob. This administration is a mess. All you mention is expectations. I said, I'm getting everything I voted for. Border security, violent illegals starting to go, energy prices down, inflation down, manufacturing jobs up, national security, we're actually letting our military fight back. We're holding standards in our military. Military recruiting is up. Yeah, I'm getting everything I voted for. So you keep shouting at the sky because your party is an utter train wreck that is championing men and women sports, championing let's get domestic abuser illegal immigrants with violent gang ties transferred back to the U.S. Yeah, you're on the right side of history there. So keep up doing what you're doing because that platform is exactly the reason you guys got your asses kicked in November. So keep them coming. You want to call, text, I'm here. We can have the conversation, but I know texting's easier for you because you don't want your neighbors to know how foolish you are. I get it. Here's something that really took me by surprise. More babies are being born by women over 40 than teens for the first time in U.S. history. That's a good thing, huh? The teen pregnancy epidemic could be waning, data suggests. For the first time in U.S. history, more women over the age of 40 are having kids compared to teen moms, according to new data from the CDC. Reflects a trend of more Americans either opting not to have kids or postponing them till later in life. No problem with that. Nothing wrong with that. The total number of U.S. births declined by 14% between 1990 and 2023. Now, this is also seen worldwide. It's not just in the U.S., according to a March 2025 report. During this time, birth rates among females younger than 20 decreased by 73%, marking the steepest percentage decline of all age groups. This resulted in a decline from 1 in 18 births in 1990 to 1 in 25 in 2023. Women between the age of 20 and 24 also had a 44% fewer births from 1990 to 2023, while they dropped by 23% among 25 to 29-year-olds. The number of births between women aged 30 to 34 increased by 24%. Women between the ages of 35 and 39 experienced a steep 90% increase in births. Women 40 and older marked a new high for birth rates, seeing a 193% surge from 1990 to 2023. In 1990, women over 40 accounted for 1.2% of births. In 2023, that percentage had increased to 4.1%. So, change in data. I mean, it's a good thing that we're at a historic low for teen births. And listen, moms are waiting until later in life. They're doing their career thing. They're getting their education on. It's a great statistic. Listen, we didn't have two of my kids till my wife was over 34. So, we had some issues between our son and daughters where we lost two. So it was no effort of trying. It's just the way, God had it worked out for us, and it worked out just fine in the end. So, hey, ladies, you keep doing you, keep doing your thing, do it when you want to do it, and we'll just keep the data up to track it. But a good trend there. Teen births are down, over 40 births are up. Oh, actually, anything over 30 was up, but over 40 was the biggest percentage increase. So that's some data I figured you find interesting. I found it interesting, so we talked about it, right? It's 5:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Texter said the reason the teen birth rate has dropped is because all the young men these days are pansies. Can't say I disagree. Can't say I can agree. But I think you're onto something. And after hearing the news break from Paul Michaels, all I can say is no one touches Jobu's rum. No one touches Jobu's rum.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
That's great. It's funny because the Vaughn Indians jersey keeps coming up on my feed on social media. I'm really, really thinking about getting the Cleveland Indians 99 jersey that says Vaughn on the back of it. Not that I like the team. The movie was great, though. So we'll talk about it then. So George Clooney sat down for an interview, and normally I would not care, but he was the only one with the guts enough to come out and say, hey, Joe Biden can't do this. And everyone needs to acknowledge that Joe Biden can't do this. So with all the politicians, with all the people in the administration, with all the family members and everyone around Joe Biden on a daily basis, they all lied and covered it up for you. George Clooney, as much as I really dislike anything he says, you know, he was an okay actor. I like some of the movies he was in. But he at least came out and wrote an op-ed, and he said that Obama had no part in him writing that op-ed. He did come out and say that. He said, I just saw something wasn't right and we needed something different. We needed a new direction. And he goes, and I'm just as angry at the people in my party, on my side of the street, is what he said. And someone needed to say something. So he wrote that op-ed and said something. And that triggered, within a few weeks, Biden was pushed aside and done. You know, the quiet part was said out loud by someone who at least had the guts to say it. And everybody was like, okay, you know, we have to kind of admit this now. The train wreck has already crashed. So I give him credit for that. And he came out now and he said that he believes there are certain Democrats that are levitating above the others as 2028 contenders. Some I don't agree with whatsoever. He did bring up Maryland Governor Wes Moore, separating himself from the pack as a potential Democrat 2028 presidential contender. He did also praise Governors Andy Beshear of Kentucky and Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, who, again, I think is another utter train wreck. I mean, the mere fact that she was hiding behind folders when she realized the press was going to be there at the Oval Office for a meeting she was having was just ridiculous. I mean, come on. You're acting like a – she literally acted like a child would act. So we'll give it a little more credence here because I do. I do respect George Clooney coming out. And what is it? He has nothing to lose, you know, but he came out and said it. And it's interesting how there are politicians now who say that there are senators that just went along with the confirmations of the Trump cabinet members because they were afraid to say no, because they were afraid to challenge that nominee. And Lisa Murkowski was overheard at a private meeting, where some source said they heard something that she said. And she was speaking to a group of people, allegedly, and said something to the effect that she didn't have the guts to speak up because of the retribution she would get. And they're pointing that out now, that, you know, because of the bullying tactic of this administration, cabinet members who were not qualified were possibly installed as cabinet members. And it leads me back to the point, and I brought this up on their post. Tell me about the entire administration around Joe Biden, that everyone knew exactly what was going on. They're coming out of the woodwork now and writing books on it and profiting off it, but they wouldn't say anything at the time out loud. So it was interesting that was the take on it when they did the exact thing with Biden until an actor came out and said, no, we just cannot move forward. And then Pelosi and everyone else chimed in, and, you know, of course, the rest is history. So we'll see. It's 5:40 here at WILK. It's time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. Tonight, mostly clear, seasonable temperatures, a low of 40. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, warm temperatures, high 72. Beautiful day. Friday night, partly cloudy, warm 55. Sounds like a good night to get that first spring fire going if you haven't got one yet. Saturday, partly sunny and warm with a passing afternoon shower possible, high 78. Easter Sunday, breezy at times with a mix of sun and clouds, high near 65. It is currently 59 degrees here at 5:41 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we start to wind things down here on this Thursday, April 17th. Texas said the only movie any good with George Clooney was From Dusk Till Dawn with Quentin Tarantino, all-star cast, Vampires in Mexico, a true classic. I agree. That's one. Listen, I like the Oceans series, all the ones except the last one, where they tried to reverse the roles. I watched it, but it didn't do anything for me. Trace Gallagher, who's the host of Nightcap on Fox News, I've been a guest on his show a few times, he just posted a question for tonight's show. That a Baltimore County student is challenging his school system for not following a Maryland law that requires the American flag to be displayed in every classroom. He says he was suspended for asking questions and pushing back. Is this case worth fighting for? Should American flags be displayed in every public school classroom? Well, here's the thing. They should be, no doubt. They should be, and the Pledge of Allegiance should still be said. That being said, if it is a Maryland law and they don't like it, change it. Change it. That's the alternative you have. And I hope this student, this high school student, finds a nice First Amendment lawyer and pays for his college education if they indeed suspended him for asking questions and pushing back on the matter. If a Maryland law says that it requires an American flag to be displayed in every classroom, then either they A, follow the law, because no one's above the law, right? Or B, change the law. If you have the votes in Maryland, go to Annapolis and have them bring up a bill to change that law saying it is no longer required. Other than that, it is worth fighting for. And it's amazing how, you know, some laws don't really matter, right? Some do when they count. Wendy said A Perfect Storm was her movie. How about Men Who Stare at Goats? Now, that was a good movie. That was a good movie. So see, even though we don't like the guy and his politics, we can enjoy his movie. And that's what it's about. Listen, I don't need to agree with everybody to like them. And again, the people I disagree with, you know, I talk about the mayor. I talk about some members in county government and such. I have nothing personal against them, and I'll continue to say that. If they want to invite me somewhere to sit down and talk, by all means, I'm up for it. My personal policy decisions and your politics and my politics and how they conflict has nothing to do if you're a good person. And I think they're all good people, most of them are good people. That little Alfred E. Newman at Lackawanna County has a lot to be desired, but I try. He's young. Maybe just when he gets all growed up, we'll be able to have a conversation. So what did I list this of? Oranges may be harder to come by, but do you need a condo? That's the title in my schedule that I gave Jake where it has the stories I talk about. So oranges may be harder to come by, but do you need a condo? And why I talk about that is a major Florida grower plans to build new community after ending citrus operations. Now, this isn't just a small citrus operation. One of Florida's biggest citrus growers plans to build a 3,000-acre community in southwest Florida just months after announcing it was abandoning its citrus growing operations at the end of this year's season. Alico Incorporated said it has filed a development application for the first of two villages near the intersection of Collier, Lee, and Hundry counties. Each village will have about 4,500 homes and will be integrated with 6,000 acres of protective conservation, the company says. Two villages, 4,500 homes each. The Fort Myers-based company owns 53,000 acres across eight counties in Florida and almost 49,000 acres of oil, gas, and mineral rights in the state. In announcing its decision to end citrus operations last January, the company said its production has declined by almost three quarters in a decade. Their woes are part of a larger struggle faced by the Florida citrus industry. Hurricanes and the vicious citrus greening disease have contributed to a 90% decline in the state's orange production over the past two decades. Meanwhile, the huge number of people moving to Florida, developers are increasingly building homes where the orange groves once stood. Citrus groves, which covered more than 832,000 acres in Florida at the turn of the century, is populated scarcely 275,000 last year. And California has eclipsed Florida as the nation's leading citrus producer. Now, that I didn't know. There is, it's sort of like what we're seeing here in our area. You know, no one wants to farm anymore. And I understand these are different circumstances. They're dealing with a, you know, citrus greening disease. And if you've ever seen that, you know, a lot in the Orlando area, but a lot in the western coast either of Florida as well. California doesn't see it as much because it's not as humid. It's a drier air and they don't deal with it as bad. These communities are gorgeous because they leave some of the citrus trees up, so you get a house built and you may have an orange tree in your front yard or your backyard. And for some people, they're a nuisance. My son, when he first moved to Pensacola when he was in flight training, had a grapefruit tree in his backyard. It was great. I went down there and was able to pick fresh grapefruits and have them for breakfast. I happen to like grapefruits. A little tart, but you know, I like them. But you know, it was nice just to go in the backyard, pick a fresh grapefruit and have it, and that was down in the panhandle of Florida. So what they do is they'll build these communities, 4,500 homes in each village. So it's not a small community. But they'll leave some of the fruit trees, you know, in there spottedly because they are mature fruit trees. If you've ever been through or gone to a Florida orange orchard, they are they're not very big trees. They're not huge trees. So it's once they're thinned out and you put it in a residential area, it's nice. I mean, maybe it's nice because we just don't have them here. You know, I would like to have a lemon or a lime tree. It's just not going to happen in Northeast Pennsylvania. I've heard some people be with some success of an indoor, but I don't think I'd have success with that either. But it just goes to show the changing in times where, you know, they're getting out of the farming business. They're getting out of the citrus business, and you're talking thousands of acres. And they're developing it. You know, we're going to start to see that here. You're already seeing it here where you have farmers who don't have the children that want to take over the business. It's not worthwhile to continue farming. They're giving it up. And that's why these big conglomerates are controlling the market so much. But you're also seeing these developments pop up. And, you know, listen, you put 9,000 homes in these three counties, it's going to add a tremendous bang to the tax rolls. But then you're dealing with that many more people, that many more cars on the road. Do you have the jobs? Do you have the shopping? Do you have the necessities that people need at that? You know, you add the average of three people per home, you're talking thousands of people. Where it used to be, you know, citrus farm. So it is a change. But now California rules the market. California determines the market. And if something happens there, there's no alternative. There's no mitigation to, if California has a bad crop, if there's an earthquake that affects them or something happens, the dust storm, whatever, wildfire. You know, we are more susceptible to that, and it could affect the orange market, which is a commodity. So it's an interesting change, but we've seen it here. We've seen some of our farms here look to put solar farms because they just don't farm anymore, and we've seen the pushback from the communities. Well, let me ask you, if you're in that same community, we've had them up by us, where farmers have tried to take 30 acres or 60 acres and build a solar farm there or have a company come in, and that was their retirement plan. And through zoning or through neighbor complaints to the township, you know, they were denied. Well, what happens when they sell that same 60 acres and they build 15 $400,000 homes? And your home is next to that. How do you think your assessment's going to work out the next time your reassessment's there? That's going to affect you. That's going to affect your home. Now, some of the homes will obviously be not comparable, but some of them will be. And when that tax base is up there, it changes the dynamic. So be careful what you wish for. But it's sad to see this industry start to leave Florida. This is not a small. This is the largest citrus producer in Florida. And they're selling a large portion of their property and turning it into 9,000 home communities. Now, it doesn't say single-family townhouses. There's a mixture of both down there, so it could be both. A lot of these communities will have, you know, a section of townhouses, then a section of single-family homes. Some of them are done tastefully, and I've driven through. I've been to a couple of them, and they're nice. You know, an orange tree in your front and backyard, but if you don't want those oranges, they are a nuisance. Just like if you have a nut tree. You have a beech nut tree and all those nuts fall and you're trying to mow the lawn. It's not pretty. I've seen it. I've gotten the scars from it. Come on, battlefield. Got to wear a helmet to mow the lawn. So figure if you were transferring to Florida, well, in the next couple of years, there's going to be 9,000 more homes for you. So check it out. It's coming up on 5. Well, it's just past 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Welcome back as we start to close things down here. Some of the things we didn't talk about. That individual, the alleged teen killer, Carmelo Anthony, he's the guy who stabbed the track brother in the chest with the knife and had his bail reduced from $1 million to $250,000, was picked up in a brand new SUV that his family bought while they rent a $900,000 house, saying they didn't have money for bail. Well, he's selling merchandise now. He's selling merchandise with his picture on it. to raise funds for his defense fund. I'm telling you, this, and one of the advisors I saw has a rap sheet too long for me to complete in the last minute of this show. And security, did you see the security group have video of them escorting him from the courthouse to his new brand new SUV? Never seen anything like that before. They're marketing supporting an alleged murderer. And I guess in the days where Luigi is seen as a morally sound man, handsome man by some, I guess this is what we're in for. It's strange times we're in. Strange times indeed. Hopefully we can make it through the weeds or see through the forest, see the light through the forest. Because if not, we're going to have some interesting time ahead. Either or, my time on this earth is mostly done, so you guys have fun ride. I'll ride out the rest as a spectator. 6 o'clock here at WILK. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.